Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today on Getting Real with the Housewives, Jackie Goldschneider on what she really thinks of Teresa Giudice's fiance.
And if she loves him and he truly makes her happy, then, you know, a weird video and my opinion of it, it really shouldn't be, you know, relevant.
Then Ebony Williams reveals what she would have said if there had been a Real Housewives of New York reunion.
Why did this become this, like, Ebony's painting Ramona with this racist brush when it was actually you two that introduced that notion to me?
Plus, Bravo breaks their silence on Jenny Wynn's offensive social media posts. Got all that plus so much more on today's Getting Real with the Housewives. Hey guys, Christina Garibaldi here with Us Weekly executive producer Mandy DeCamp. Welcome to Getting Real with the Housewives. Hi, Mandy.
Hi, guys. So excited for today. We have special guests.
We do. We have special guests, our friends from the Watch What Crappens podcast. We are joined by Ben and Ronnie. And if you don't know their podcast, it's definitely a must. It's satirical, take on Housewives and other Bravo shows. Guys, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, hey. We're so good. How are you?
So good. We are so excited to run down all things Housewives news, this latest episode of Salt Lake City. But before we get to all that, you guys recently announced your 10th annual Golden Crappies Award show, which is given to the best and bitchiest stars on reality TV. So tell us all about this big event and how people can tune in.
Oh my goodness. So we've been doing this for 10 years and it's happening live in New York City at Town Hall, but we've partnered with Moment House. So you can watch it digitally from the comfort of your own home if you can't make it to New York City. It's gonna be like an epic show.
That's awesome. I can't wait. Who are some of your favorites from this past year? Can you tell us any teasers?
Well, you know, the whole cast of Salt Lake City is just killing it. I mean, they're all great. They're all probably going to be in jail, really, at some point. Right. But, you know, they're killing it. You know, I think New York actually has gotten a lot of trouble this year, but you know, considering the year they had, I mean, we laughed. So yep. That's all we really care about. If we can laugh at some things during your season, they were, you know, I mean, it's Bravo. There's so much. They bring us joy year round. So it really is hard to choose. That's why we leave a lot of the choices up to the listeners, you know, because we don't want to make those.
That's very true. Good call.
Yeah, it's an exciting year because normally Real Housewives of New York dominates every category that it's up for. But this is the first year where it's really not going to be doing that. And so we have a good like horse race going between Salt Lake City and Beverly Hills, which both had standout seasons. And I think this is going to be a really exceptional ceremony.
Cannot wait.
Awesome. We actually, later in the show, we'll get to our interview with Ebony, too, from New York, who finally talked about what she would have talked about if there was a New York reunion. So it's very interesting what she says. We'll get to that in a little bit. But also, you guys are starting your tour right now. So tell us, you're in New York to kick it off, right?
Yes, we're starting here in New York for the Golden Crappies. Then we're really going across the country. So we're going to New Jersey over the weekend. We're going to the Wilbur in Boston. We're going to Nashville or Orlando. Atlanta, Philadelphia, I mean, really Texas, Dallas. I mean, it's really everywhere. It's going to be pure madness, but this is something that we used to do all the time before the pandemic. And we are just totally thrilled to be able to get back out on the road and get to like, just do all this stuff with all the listeners again.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's 21 cities and it's right after being stuck inside with COVID for over 2 years. So yeah. I mean, welcome back to airplane seats when you're, you know, 30 pounds heavier, at least. I won't get on the scale, but I just apologize for anybody who's next to me on the plane because it's going to suck for you, but it's going to be fun for the rest of us.
Awesome.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, tickets, watch what, crappens.com, right?
Or watch tickets are at watchwhatcrappens.com. And if you want to watch the Golden Crappies, by the way, that is going to be up on Moment House for an entire week. That's at momenthouse.com/WWC. But ultimately, all the links are at watchwhatcrappens.com. So if you can't remember, just always go to that website and you have access to everything that we talk about.
I love it. So many exciting things going on for you guys. Congrats. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get, before we get into this week's news, because there's a lot for us to break down, we want to see what you guys had to say about last week's show. Mandy, why don't you kick it off?
Sure. William B. said Jennifer Aiden's tagline is right on the nose. I love that. We went through the Jersey Housewives taglines last week. Did you get to see those yet?
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, they were good. They really fun.
I always love them. And that's a show that you can really make up the taglines in your head and they still work. I mean, for Jennifer Aiden, I think we would always just prefer her to say pizza bagel. You know, like her little quotes in the background are always the funniest to us. Amanda is really a pro at just picking up those little things she's saying in the background when everybody else is talking.
Yeah, I like listen in. And then basically she says one random phrase in episode one, and then I just scream it for the rest of the season. You know, there was last season, she mentioned that she saw a fox in her driveway. And for the rest of the season, I was like, I saw a fox in the driveway, baby.
I'm so excited for Jersey.
Oh, me too. We played this game with Jennifer maybe like a year ago when she was promoting last season. And it replays in my head all the time because she sounds like a song almost. Like when she does. I'll send it to you guys after. It's good.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, Pam Edwards wrote, she says, I think Lisa's a fence girl, always on the fence, trying to be friends to all that's not going to work with this group. Of course, talking about Lisa from Salt Lake City. We're going to break down that episode, which was amazing. But yeah, I kind of agree with her. I think Lisa is definitely a people pleaser. She'll tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah, but she's also in PR, you know, so it's kind of like what you get. Like, we all know people in PR, and that's exactly what you get. But also, the fights really have nothing to do with Lisa. So it's like, what is she supposed to do? They want her to pick sides on, it's like, are you going to be Meredith's friend, my friend? Who cares? You're probably going to jail. And Meredith is being ridiculous, too. Like, when you've got two ridiculous friends like that, I say, stay the hell out of it, because crazy is always just going to be crazy. There's no saying anything to either of those two that's going to be right.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. All right. It is true. Yeah. It's weird that they're so focused on Lisa. You're right. Like, it has nothing to do with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she inserts herself. But I think that's good. She does ride the fence. That's her role on the show. That's why she's entertaining, because she flip-flops. And she flip-flops so, like, blatantly that it's hilarious to watch. There's no grace about it. It's just, like, so deeply obvious, and it's hilarious.
It is.
And then when she gets caught, she just does her like fake cry, which is the best fake cry on Bravo. It cracks me up, that noise she makes. Just that.
Oh my God, I love it. We have some big news to talk about from Salt Lake City, because, you know, this is what has gotten everybody talking. So Mandy, why don't you kind of run down what is going on with Jenny Nguyen?
Okay, so we all know that Real Housewives of Salt Lake City star Jenny Nguyen has been dropped from the series after her past racially insensitive social media posts resurfaced these past few weeks. So Bravo issued a statement on all of their social media platforms. They said Bravo has ceased filming with Jenny Nguyen and she will no longer be a cast member on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We recognize that we failed to take appropriate action once her offensive social media posts were brought to our attention. The statement went on to promise fans that larger scale changes would be made in the future, noting, moving forward, we will work to improve our processes to ensure we make better informed and more thoughtful casting decisions. Following the announcement, Jenny took to Instagram Live to talk about it herself. She, alongside with her friend Michael, who is a black gay man, insisted that she is not a racist. Jenny called the post, which appeared to share anti-Black Lives Matter sentiments, disgusting, and claimed that a social media team is to blame for sharing the offensive posts in her non-verified personal Facebook page that existed before she was cast. She said, I just want you to understand that during that time, I had a team of people that were helping me. Whether they posted or I posted, it doesn't really matter at this point. For me, it's on my account and I take full responsibility and accountability for what was posted. After the post became public, Jenny said on social media that she thought she was speaking out against violence, but has since learned that the posts were offensive and hurtful. So what do you think? Do you think she had a team of people that were posting this for her?
Why would you have a team of people before you were even on Housewives? Nobody even knew who you were.
No. One syllable. Boo. If I had tomatoes, I would throw them. Boo. To blame that on a social. And also, you have a social media person that's posting George Floyd with a knee on his neck on your social media, and you're totally fine with that. You just never noticed that. Yeah. And it's post after post. It's terrible post after terrible post. What social media manager posts that to your page? Like, what is she trying to sell over there? I can't with her.
Yeah. And by the way, also the social, blame it on your social media team. It didn't work for Jen Shaw. It's definitely not going to work for Jenny Nguyen. Okay. No, those posts were totally wrong. They were racist. They were gross. And, it's really unfortunate. And she, I think that she totally should have been fired for it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if Bravo, because she did film part of season 3, if we will see her in season 3 and then see her getting fired, like the aftermath of this, or if they're just going to delete all the scenes that she was in. I wonder how they're going to handle that.
I'm hoping we get the Pete from Below Deck treatment, where you just see the back of his head sometimes, you know, and then they just fill it. I don't even care if they just cut. The screen goes to black and you hear like, doot, 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 you know, like something, some music, you know, like some kind of clown music playing instead.
I totally forgot about that Below Deck situation. That's hysterical.
That was almost like CGI the way they did it. I mean, you really never saw that guy.
I was like, how did they do that? That's magical.
It is interesting that nobody noticed this. Like, I mean, it was on a Facebook page. Like, I know it was unverified, but did Bravo not vet her before before she was passed?
I mean, well, I wonder what really goes into vetting, by the way, because I feel like we always say this. How did you not look into it? But I do wonder, like, what does vetting involve and how easy is it? Like, once you deactivate a Facebook page, if it's just some random person and, you know, you want to find out their old posts, is it really hard? Is it easy? I don't know these things.
Yeah.
Well, I read that she had deactivated it and then for some reason changed the cover photo or changed the profile picture of that page. So it showed up again for somebody who just happened to be following, Jenny. And so it showed up like you also might like, and then they screenshotted everything and posted it to the internet. So that stuff is never gone. It's never deleted. And, you know, all of us, well, maybe not all of us, but me, I mean, I've posted stupid thing, not racist, but I mean, I'm an idiot, you know, like I regret what I said yesterday. So I'm sure that, you know, people can find stuff. You just have to be careful, especially if you're a closet racist, Jenny.
Yeah. I always say I'm so grateful that I didn't have Instagram like my nieces and nephews have today, you know, when I was 13 or something. Like, God only knows what I would have said when I was 13. Again, nothing racist, but.
Yeah, but you say things that like are not informed. You know, when you get, hopefully as you get older, you learn more perspectives, you're around other people, and you start to realize that things that you thought were harmless that you said actually may have damaging repercussions. And so you adjust your perspectives and the language you use, which is a good thing. We should all be learning. I don't need people to see like my learning from when I was 13, when I was really what I was talking about.
Definitely not.
Not 13.
So
that's why people really don't have a lot of forgiveness for her, because the things she posted happened after everything happened with George Floyd, where there were lots of national conversations and we all feel like she should have known better.
100%. All right.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to Meghan King, because she did not hold back as she watched her relationship with then-husband Jim Edmonds play out in past episodes of The Real Housewives of Orange County. So in a clip posted by Page Six on January 25th, she reacted to her embarrassing marriage for her new YouTube channel. During a season 10 scene, she referred to Edmonds as rude when he ignored her trying to talk to him. She said, "I was in denial." And so she explained herself watching herself telling this in a confessional on camera. She said that Edmonds completely respects her Dexter at the time, and she later reacted to previously using his last name, saying, thank God it's not Evans anymore. Of course, they originally appeared on Real Housewives of Orange County in season 10 and 11. They split in October 2019 after 5 years of marriage. It was super, super messy. They said that he was unfaithful. It was a whole big thing. So she denied reports of an alleged affair, telling Us Weekly in June of 2019, regrettably, I had a lapse in judgment. I engaged in an inappropriate conversation with this person. At no time was there any type of relationship or physical contact. Absolutely none. That was Jim that said that. She's still talking about this marriage.
She probably still in love with him. That's probably why.
We'll say it again.
Oh.
She's probably still in love with him. That's probably why. I mean, she was literally married to the president's nephew, and she's still harping on Jim Edmonds.
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, for 2 weeks, but
I don't think she's still in love with him, but I do think, well, what do I know? Like, I don't know her. But what I do think is that Megan is showing so much more cuckoo energy now than she ever did on the show. And I really wish that that crazy flower had bloomed back then, because this train wreck is what we need on the show. Like, Megan was so serious, and, you know, I mean, I do love the scene where she tried to cook minute rice. But otherwise, or when she went after Brooks with his fake cancer and stuff, I mean, that was definitely her golden moment. But she was always just kind of like the normal one and the smart one who could handle a detective case, which was okay. But I mean, this energy, I mean, I need Megan like fighting with Joe Biden's nephew about whatever that was.
I know. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised that she's harping on Jim Edmonds, because that's literally what she was known for in her first season, was just like a dog with a bone, not giving up on this one thing about Brooks. And so she's just doing sort of her thing with Jim Edmonds now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if she can make a few YouTube bucks off of it, good for her.
Seriously.
I just want to know, will President Biden be watching her YouTube show? I think he might be.
Maybe yeah. Dr. Jill Biden will.
Yeah,
you never heard of. But I mean, to say now that, oh, you were just hoodwinked by Jim Edmonds, you didn't know he was a total creep and an a-hole. I'm sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, anybody could see that. You're not some idiot, Megan. You're a smart person. You knew. But at one time it's acceptable. And, you know, now you're divorced, so it's no longer acceptable. And you know what? I'm here for that as well. I agree.
You know what?
I like a messy divorce on my mm-hmm. on my
And
you know,
he is a jerk. He is like awful. And so I'm here for Megan just dragging him some more, just for the fun of it. Why not?
Why not?
I'll watch it. All right. Well, you got to get to Erica Jayne news. She hasn't been in the news in a few weeks, and I was so excited to read this story because it's kind of a funny one. Erica Jayne may be forced to surrender a pair of earrings that cost $750,000 amid allegations that her estranged husband, Tom Girardi, purchased the jewelry with funds that did not belong to him. Have you guys ever heard of a pair of earrings for $750,000? No. This is crazy.
Oh my God. That is insane.
Yeah.
Money laundering? Like, what is that?
That's, you know, what it seems like.
I don't know. So some background.
I'm not putting that much money on my ear where it could fall off. Like, that's just like, that to me is like just definition of hubris.
Yes. So some background on this. Tom allegedly bought the earrings in March 2007 with money from a client trust account, and cited the purchase as costs for a case, according to court documents. While he initially claimed that the jewelry was stolen from their home, the earrings were allegedly in a safe. Ronald Richards, who is the former attorney for the trustee overseeing the bankruptcy case involving Tom's former law firm, exclusively told Us Weekly in a statement that the evidence filed in court by the trustee shows a clear money trail to the purchase of these earrings. Erica should return them immediately. They were purchased with estate funds. She will not be able to hide behind her attorney in the response. She will have to provide testimony under oath and be subject to the deposition if she persists. So her lawyer fired back at the allegation, saying that Erica is innocent. He said, if the law matters, the trustee's motion is completely out of bounds, even based on the incomplete hearsay evidence filed with the motion. The trustee has no claim based on Erica innocently receiving a gift of earrings 15 years ago from her now estranged and then extraordinarily wealthy husband. So what do you guys think? Should she give these earrings back or not?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, yes. Good luck. Good luck with that. I mean, right.
I
really want to
decide. I want to. It's all she has left, you guys.
Oh, so you're an earring apologist? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I think she should keep the earrings.
All she has left. She has a Range Rover. She has a house in Hancock Park. She's got she's got, you know, she's still on camera. She's still earning a check from Bravo. Sure. Give those earrings back.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, considering the victims, you know, the orphans and the widows. Oh. Yeah. I mean, give them, you know, even further, this Ronald Richards, you know, I have to say, because we give Erica a ton of food, just like everybody else, I'm sure. But this Ronald Richards is such a sleazy, like, housewife wannabe, too. I mean, I follow him, and he's constantly going, and he's posting these things like, guys, we got the earrings. And then he puts these pictures up, like, you know, we got her, guys. And she came on his Twitter, because she's always telling him off on Twitter, you know. And she's like, get a life. And then supposedly his wife came on and was like, well, why don't you give money back to the victims? And she's like, oh, shut up. Go suck Ronald's D, why don't you? You know, so that's some good housewives drama in general. It's hard because it's now become kind of Ronald Richards being a sleazy housewife against Erica Jane, who you're not really rooting for either. So it's kind of a Salt Lake City in that way, where it's like you don't have to choose sides. You just kind of watch.
Yeah. You know? Grab your popcorn. Right. Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Salt Lake City, let's break down this week's episode. And I mean, it just keeps getting better and better. So let's start out with this speculation that Meredith's father's memorial was fake. It seems like this is going to spill over into next week's episode as well. Do we think that Meredith made this whole thing up?
I think it's real. Meredith Marks, so far as far as we can tell, on a cast full of many grifters, she doesn't seem as griftery as the others. Mm-hmm. So I tend to think that this was a real memorial. Maybe she messed up some of the details of the other women and figured it wouldn't even matter either way if she just said, I'm going to for a memorial. I think that she probably thought, like, that's good enough. It's a good enough reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, if your dad dies and you lie about having a memorial, your dad died. Like, who even, are you questioning that her dad died? No. So if your dad dies and you lie, I feel like you get a pass anyway. Like, even if you're lying, her dad died. Shut up, you guys. I cannot believe that they're going after her for that. And it's so ballsy and so gross. And that's why I love that show. Like, I can't even believe that the whole cast was like, do you think it was a lie? And then Whitney, you know, Detective Whitney over there, like,
I don't know, because then some people didn't come on a bus, which means that maybe her dad isn't even dead. Maybe her dad is Homeland Security. The father did. That means
it's like, oh my God, where are you even going with this, you crazies?
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I'm on the same page. If she lied, I don't care. Mm-hmm. If it was Monday and not Tuesday or whatever, if she needs to take 2 days because her dad died, that's okay too.
Right. Yeah, she doesn't want to go on the bus. Like,
maybe it was on Sunday and the bus was on Tuesday. So she was thinking, rather than fly back to Salt Lake City, I'll stay an extra day, you know. Mm-hmm. But like Ronnie said, Whitney has spun this crazy conspiracy theory and everyone's fallen for it. I mean, it's great TV.
It is great TV. I'm actually surprised that this storyline isn't getting picked up more. This whole Jen Shah hooking up with the guy that Meredith was seeing. I'm surprised that we're not talking about this more, because this is very juicy.
Interesting.
Well, this whole show, there've been so many crazy storylines that I'm constantly saying, why is this not an A story? I mean, let's not forget that there is a B story, not an A story, a B story, that Mary might run a cult. Like, how is that like not the headline? How is that? That's one of the craziest storylines we've ever had on Bravo or reality TV, that a full cast member runs a cult, not just like a con, like not just some sort of con or some up to no good, like a cult. And that's only the B story. So like something like an infidelity, I mean, that's barely even registering. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And did you guys see that the rumors are that this guy that they had both dated or slept with or whatever is Ron from Real Housewives of New York? Did you see that? Ramona's the big guy that Ramona was hanging out with. She's like, we can't stay at your party. We got to go down the street. What was that restaurant they went to then down the street?
Omar's, okay. We got to go to Omar's. Okay. Now can't come.
And Ron is the one who's gross with Leah, like, hey, Leah.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's like, gross, you're disgusting. Back off, you know? So it's that guy. So it's like thirsty Ron, you know? That's, he's like another another Tom or whatever who's going after every single housewife. Mm-hmm. You know, so
I don't believe that.
Pretty
rumor
funny.
I'm gonna. By the way, I'm just gonna say it right now, I do not believe that rumor. I don't believe that Meredith Marks is hooking up with that guy, Ron from New York. It just does not work in my head.
Well, listen, we know that her husband, Seth, loves boobs. Maybe Meredith loves boobs too. Maybe she loves moobs. I don't know.
That's amazing. If it's Ron, I believe that they both hooked up with him though. That's believable. That's crazy.
Harry, yeah, Ron does have that like heavy breathing confidence where he just doesn't care. You know, yeah. Oh, by the way, for those of you just listening and not watching, I have moves, so I can say that.
I love it. And then let's talk about how, you know, Mary has been treating Jenny this season. She really has not been the nicest of friends. I think we know that Mary has not been filming for season 3. So are we surprised that she's not coming back? She didn't show up for the reunion. Mary is always a wild card. Yeah.
You know, I'm not surprised that she's not coming back. She has not had a wonderful relationship with Jenny. Although unfortunately now that all this stuff has come out, maybe there's some energy that Jenny was putting out there that Mary was picking up on. But then again, Mary is also kind of surly to a lot of people. You know, it's funny because all season long, I was kind of like, wow, Mary is just so, she is harsh. Like, she, you know, when she doesn't like you, she doesn't like you. And I was like, wow, she does not give people chances. But then this week, after everything with Jenny came out, I was like, good for you, Mary. Good for you.
Yeah, you changed so fast, you know?
Yeah, it was hard to watch. It was like a little bit Mean Girls for me, watching, not knowing the stuff about Jenny. But now that I know the stuff about Jenny, I'm like, good for you.
Yeah, exactly. You forgive it. But, you know, you have to remember that stuff with Jenny started when they were on the bus. It's always on the bus. It's always on that Sprinter van.
They were
on that party bus thing to go, what was it, like tubing or whatever? And Jenny was really trying to earn her housewife stripes for no reason. You know, she was doing that like season one, I'm just going to yell and start a fight with somebody because I have nothing going on. Because she was going after Mary for crazy reasons on that bus too. Well, like, people forget that Jenny really started, you know, kind of yelling at Mary. And Mary was dismissed. Like, no one was really right in that fight. But Jenny's response, I think, was just so over the top, you know, yelling and screaming, like, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, I mean, Jenny said later in that episode that her response was driven because it was the anniversary of the death of her child. And so she was a little bit more emotionally extra. And I think it's also really important to remember that, like, even though I'm saying, like, good for you, Mary, let's also not forget that Mary also said some very racially insensitive things Jenny, and it's not negated by what Jenny has done.
Totally.
Ben coined the term lazy Susan of awful a long time ago. And sometimes that really, we use that a lot on this show because you're like, well, this person's right. And it's like, yeah, but then they committed that crime. But then they were racist. But then she was racist. But then you need a string with like pins on a board to like see you need to not like the...
Spinning the lazy Susan. It's like another dish of awfulness has just arrived in front of you and you spin it and here comes another one.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I was going to say, we were saying we didn't, before all this news about Jenny came out, we weren't a big fan of her because she kind of, everything she did seemed kind of, I want to be relevant on the show. I want to be relevant and ask that next season.
I was going to say, I feel like I was trying to embrace her and like, she would have a moment. I'd be like, oh, look, she's starting to pop, but yeah,
no,
didn't work out.
Hi, Jenny.
But what were you going to say? Even the moment where what?
Oh, where Dewey wanted a sister wife. I felt like that was very scripted or produced. Mm. I didn't feel like that was a real storyline.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget that her niece at the sort of towards the beginning of the season, her niece posted on social media a whole thing about how Jenny and Dewey are terrible people and they're basically grifters. And it was just, it was a whole thing about how they saying that, I guess something about money, like maybe they were using the family for money. I don't know. You have to go check it out. But her niece was kind of warned us. And I think we all were like, well, let's just hear. And then it looks like maybe her niece is correct.
Interesting. Oh, man. All right, well, let's move on to our real talk, because we recently caught up with Jackie Goldschneider, of course, from Real Housewives of New Jersey, who spilled the tea on why everyone was questioning Teresa Giudice and her fiance, Louis. Take a look. In the first episode, a lot of people are questioning Teresa's fiance, Louis's intentions after this video comes out. Did you see red flags in the beginning of the relationship? Just because, you know, everything moved so quickly, that video was really released. What was kind of your thought process on that?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is that I thought the video was very odd. Mm-hmm. I think we all did. But really, the only thing that matters is whether or not Teresa is happy and whether or not Teresa likes him. I mean, she's the one who's with him behind closed doors. And if she loves him and he truly makes her happy, then, you know, a weird video, in my opinion of it, it really shouldn't be, you know, relevant.
Mm-hmm. Was she as secretive about the relationship this season as she was last season? I mean,
No. Louis is like there for everything this mm-hmm. season.
Yeah.
You know, and he does get questioned a lot.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel unfairly questioned or was it justified?
No, I think that given the amount of things that were out in the press, mm-hmm. It was justified, but it certainly wasn't always me. It really wasn't me. I didn't feel like it was my place, mm-hmm. given my relationship with Teresa, to be questioning. There's people who have known her a lot longer and who, if someone truly was concerned for her well-being, those are the people who should be asking about it and not me.
Yeah. Where is she in the wedding plan process? Are you going to score?
Yeah, I mean, we're not super close, so I wouldn't know.
Okay.
I really wouldn't know, but I know they're engaged. I know they're living together, so... Mm-hmm. I have to imagine the wedding is close.
So New Jersey comes back next week and kicks off right off the bat with a lot of questions about Teresa's fiance. Not so surprising because he has a bit of a shady past.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This guy. I mean, you could not cast this guy. The first I saw of him. Well, I guess the first I saw of him was his scene on the show. But then that video where he's at that man's retreat begging for forgiveness. Yes. Have you guys seen that? Where he's like, baby, I'm a man. And he's just like screaming, go on, bro. Go on, bro.
Yeah, all the guys are like, come on, say what?
Give it from your heart.
Say it like you mean it. Say it like you mean it.
I have to say, we got a sneak peek at the episode, and that comes up a lot in episode one. So,
wow. Yeah. Great. Yeah.
That's a strange moment.
Yeah, you know, I've been watching Real Housewives of New Jersey from season one because we're going to do a couple classic episodes on our tour. And so I'm, you know, just getting reacquainted. I mean, Teresa really, she is one of the most delusional. I mean, she's just stood up for Joe so, so much, you know, before she kind of flipped. And she's just going to do the same with this guy. You know, I don't know if it comes from like low self-confidence or just confidence in the world. Like, you don't think that there are good men out there? Because I would get that. But man, she really goes to bat for these crazy guys. And Louis is energetic and crazy. Juicy Joe was like, so what? Who cares? But this guy looks like he's going to be active.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a good season.
So good.
Well, like I said, we also chatted with Ebony K. Williams, who revealed what she would have said if there had been a New York reunion. So take a look at this.
So obviously reunion got canceled. We know Real Housewives reunions are always something.
Oh, yes.
If it had gone down, what is one thing that you would have said during the reunion?
Well, a lot. I think the main thing that I wanted clarity around was this notion of, you know, Ramona and race, right? And her, what became very apparent watching the show was, you know, a difficult relationship, I'll call it, to her ability to have race discussions and engage around that. And why it seems like the narrative was that I was like introducing that narrative around Ramona and her difficulty with race and Blackness, when in actuality, I took Ramona at face value. And it was her friends of 20 years and 30 years, respectively, Luann and Sonia, who came to my apartment during the election party. And they are actually the ones that said, oh, she's only posting you because you're Black and she wants to defeat a narrative that says she's racist or has a problem with Black people. So that would be my question, is like, why did this become this like Ebony's painting Ramona with this racist brush, when it was actually you two that introduced that notion to me and said that that was Ramona's issue. So that would have been something I wanted clarity around.
What do you think the response would have been to that? Do you think it would have been?
I'm genuinely curious. I would love to know, because I had not assumed that about Ramona, actually, because I watched the show, but I really made a conscious effort to kind of control, alt, delete everything I saw as a viewer mm-hmm. and really take each of these women at face value in real life. Because I know enough to know there's TV and there's real life, right? So I really was authentic in that. Mm-hmm. So I would love to know like why they felt it was important to bring that up to me and how they feel now, you know, in retrospect.
Mm-hmm. So on a different note, Carol Rodswell had done an interview a little while back saying that she thought you were a miscast for the show. Do you agree or disagree with her statement and why?
I wholeheartedly disagree. Obviously, Carol's very much entitled to her take and opinion. I think I was perfectly cast, frankly. I think after 13 years of not having a lens of Black womanhood on the show, I think it was very important. And I think Bravo took it very seriously, to their credit, to kind of get that part right, to bring a woman onto the show that was going to be very consistent and unapologetic and knowledgeable with her lens of Blackness and Black womanhood and all of that. You know, if you're going to bring a Black woman into the show, like bring somebody who leads with that, who carries that. And I think that was important. And that's exactly who they got with me. The network was very intentional around that. Like, they could have cast any Black woman in New York. And trust me, there's no shortage of phenomenal, beautiful, educated, powerful Black women in New York City. But they cast the one with the bachelor's degree in Black studies. You know, they cast the one who, you know, had during all of my interviews of commissioned a photograph of the transatlantic slave trade, you know, so it was literally like the Middle Passage, you know, that would sat behind me during my casting interviews. And I had, you know, faux dreadlocks during my casting process. So I think the casting was spot on. You know, mm-hmm. I think if what Carol meant in the subtext of, oh, she was miscast, is in some way to cast someone who was just going to assimilate to a white-centered experience, which is what Roni had been up until that point, I think misses the mark and misses the moment and misses the point.
So it's interesting that her and Ramona aren't, she doesn't consider herself to be like enemies with Ramona after that season, which, you know, I give a lot of credit to Ebony, because I don't know if I would love Ramona after that season.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the internet doesn't love Ramona after that season. Right. I mean, I don't know if you saw that Jenny was fired and the name that was trending was Ramona, because all the tweets were like, okay, now fire Ramona. So, I mean, people are not happy with Ramona Singer right now.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And, you know, you commend Ebony for still being okay, you know, for having nice. I commend anybody who's ever dealt with Ramona and has something nice to say. I mean, I commend the hostess at the restaurant who says, thank you, have a good night, after Ramona has eaten there. I mean, she's just a nightmare across the board, literally, to everybody.
Yeah.
Totally. All right. Well, let's get to our social spotlight of the week, where we discuss which housewife caught our attention on social media. Ben, who caught your attention on social media this week?
You know, Dr. Tiffany Moon of the former Bravo television show Real Housewives of Dallas, she did stand up this week at, I think, the Laugh Factory in Los Angeles. And that just sort of surprised me. I think she's funny. And I've just always, it's a surprising turn. I was not expecting Dr. Tiffany Moon to do stand up. I don't know if there's any video of it. I definitely want to check it out. Part of me is like, do I want to see the video? Because I really like her a lot. Is this going to ruin it for me? Or is this going to make me like her more? But it was just one of the things I was like, huh, the Real Housewives always do some interesting things.
They really do.
Cringeworthy to me when Bravo celebrities try to do stand-up. I mean, you guys are actual comedians. You're hysterical. When like Ariana from Vanderpump tried to do stand-up a few years ago. Oof.
Or what about
Joe Gorga's recently?
Oh, Joe Gorga's doing it right now. Yes.
Joe Gorga. Oh my God. Did you see that video where he was getting booed off the stage and Melissa had to come on and kind of make it funny, make it nice or whatever?
Oh my God. So bad. Ronnie, how about you?
You know, I've been obsessed with just all the apology statements from all the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City because, you know, it's just been funny in a way. I mean, I know it's dark to think it's funny, but just how they release something like, we don't condone bad behavior. And then people are like, no, that is not enough. We need more from you. I need her name and I need you to do this and you need to say this. And so then they rewrite it and then they come back with it. I'm like, what are we auditioning apology statements? It's like every day is like a new cycle of, all right, let's try this one. Okay, I've got a Martin Luther King quote and feathers. I'm wearing feathers this time. It's like, you guys. It's they make it into such a circus.
I love it. Really, Andy, yeah. How about you?
I hope they're filming all of this.
I know.
Yeah, mine went to Lisa Rinna. It pretty much goes to Lisa Rinna every time she posts about Harry Hamlin. I love Harry Hamlin. She posted this photo. I think he's smoking an e-cig, maybe pot. I don't know. And she said, when you're married to a freaking stud. I just love him. I love them. I love him.
They're so cute. Mine went to Melissa Gorga. She posted a text message between her and her mom, and her mom told her to get on OnlyFans because Larsa Pippen is making $10,000 a day. So I love that.
I think she wrote down Larda Pippen. Or
Larva, like yeah.
Yeah, Larda Pippen.
I love it. Well, Ronnie and Ben, thank you both so much for running down all things Housewives with us. It is always such a pleasure having you both on the show with us, and we are so excited for the Golden Crappies and your tour. Please remind everybody where they can listen to the podcast and get all the information on the Golden Crappies and your tour.
Well, our main hub is watchwhatcrappens.com. You can find links to all of our tickets, 21 cities coming up. You'll also find a link to Moment House where you can get tickets to stream that live crappy show for the next week. And that covers it, right, Ben?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, we'd love to see all of you guys on the road, and hopefully you guys can join us either there or streaming on Moment House for the Crappies.
Yeah, it's gonna be Instagram is Watch What Crappens, Twitter is What Crappens, and then I'm Ronnie Karam and he's at Ben Mandelker on both.
Yeah, and it's all on the site.
Guys, thank you so much. Mandy, thank you so much as always.
Thank you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of Getting Real with the Housewives. But if you want more Housewives news, head on over to usmagazine.com where we've got you covered.